and welcome to this second episode of the podcast series, Help Me Understand. My name is Eid, and this is a podcast where I help other people and students like myself understand why things are the way they are in society. And in this second episode, I'm going to talk to LSC fellow and political theorist, Lukas Lotus, about strike action. I want to dive further into the world of strike action and explore why thousands of people from various of industries, such as train services, postal deliveries, healthcare, and probably the most relevant to us LSE students, universities and teachers, choose to take this course of action.
17% racial pay gap, 16% gender pay gap. Did you know that's what we're dealing with in higher education?
Yeah.
Did you know suffering strike today?
Yeah.
They are. 18 days in the coming...
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of students, just like myself, are affected by the current teacher strike. So, in this episode, I want to gain a deeper understanding of what strikes truly represent, how they come about, and whether they serve as effective bargaining tools. So, tune in if you want to learn more about strikes. Hello and welcome to Help Me Understand, Lukas Lotus. Could you start by giving us a short introduction to who you are?
Yes, so my name is Lukas Lotus. I'm an LSE fellow and a political theorist here at the LSE. So I teach a first-year undergraduate course called LSE 100, and I research and write on various topics in political theory.
So first of all, Lukas, are you striking?
Yes, I'm striking, not for the first time.
Okay, not for the first time.
Yeah, so I've been striking a couple of times. I'm a member of the UCU here at LSE.
Okay, super. Then we have those cards on the table. Okay, so Lukas, could you start by giving us a brief overview of what strikes are?
Yeah, sure. So strikes are basically, if you think in a workplace, you have the employer, and the employer hires people to work there who are employees or workers, and if the workers in lots of workplaces will be members of a union, or at least they have the opportunity to be a member of a union, and if, let's say, they have a certain demand that the employer isn't willing to agree to, or let's say the employer makes some change in the workplace that the workers don't agree to, then there'll be negotiations, you know, there'll be various ways to try and reach some kind of agreement or compromise or settlement. But if the workers and the union don't feel like they can reach some kind of agreement, then the last resort, in a way, is to go on strike. So that's kind of the final tool that trade unions have. And what a strike is specifically is basically that the simple kind of summary of what a strike is just that the workers stop working, right? In different kinds of workplaces, this would mean very different things, right? Let's say if you work in a factory, then you could actually stop all the machines from working. So you could like shut the factory down. In a university, obviously, that's quite different because it's, you know, it's like a different kind of workplace. So that's why even when there are strikes at LSE, there are still kind of things going on. So the simple answer is just that a strike is workers withdrawing their labor. So they refuse to do the work that they're employed to do.
But what are strikers trying to achieve when they do this action, when they strike?
It could be a variety of things that motivate unions and union members to go on strike. I would say the classic ones today, or kind of in the post-World War II era, would be things like pay increases or to stop pay cuts. It could also be to stop job losses. So let's say that a workplace is going to fire a bunch of people, then the union could decide to go on strike to try and stop that. Other classic kind of reasons would be to stop outsourcing. So let's say a company decides to move their production to another country where the costs of production are lower. The workers who work in that place, who are then going to lose their job potentially, they could go on strike to try and stop that from happening. So those would be some of the main reasons. It could also be cuts to pensions, for example, or a reduction in other types of... a reduction in the quality of life for the workers, basically, or for the union members. Those would be kind of the main reasons. But there could be all kinds of reasons, but they would be the main ones, I would say.
I have gotten the impression that there are a lot of strikes happening right now. Is that the case, or has it always been this many strikes, but more that I'm realizing it first now?
No, so you're completely right that there's been a massive increase in strike activity in the UK, and I would say even more broadly, probably in at least in Europe, in the past couple of years. So obviously, if we look kind of in the very long perspective, this is not really a high point of striking. So there have been past periods in history where there have been a lot more strikes than there are now. So specifically, we can think of in the very beginning of the 20th century, right? So in the 1910s, the 1920s, there were lots of huge strikes. But the main period is really kind of in the post-World War II era, immediately after the post-World War II era, and up until, I would say, the 80s, probably. So in the UK, the classic case is the miners' strike, which is really not really a strike, but like a long, long series of strikes. And that kind of culminated in the mid-80s. In other sectors, there have been other kinds of strikes, obviously, in those decades. In the 60s, in 1968, there were lots of strikes in all kinds of sectors across Europe. That's why we kind of, that ended up with the kind of 68 revolution or the kind of student revolution. But it is true that if we look at just the past 20, 30 years, we're absolutely at a high point now in terms of strike activity. And there are obviously various different ways that you could measure this, right? So when we say that there's a lot of strikes, what do we mean? Do we mean that there are like a high percentage of workers who are on like joining in the strikes? Is it that there's a lot of different kind of sectors that are on strike? Is it that the strikes go on for a long time? Is it that they're very disruptive, right? There's lots of different ways that we could decide to measure that. But I would say on pretty much all of those measures, now is a kind of high point of strikes in the past, at least in the past 20, 30 years.
Okay, and why do you think that that high point is happening right now?
So that's a good question, I guess, kind of the crucial question to try and answer. I think there's kind of a simple answer to the question, probably, and a more complicated answer to the question. The simple answer, I would say, is obviously since 2008, the financial crisis has led to a reduction in people's living standards for certain segments of society in kind of the most like advanced capitalist countries like in Europe and North America. So there has been a kind of decline after a period of decades and decades and decades of basically rising living standards for basically everyone. So it's like the first time that you see especially kind of the middle class, the lower middle class, see a reduction in their living standards. So that obviously means that people, if it feel like they're actually getting less money rather than more money, then they would probably be more inclined to think about going on strike. But we can also just look more narrow, like in a even shorter term perspective. The war in Ukraine has been, I think, a major element in this because of the way that that's led to, you know, massive inflation. And it's really we haven't seen this level of inflation in a long time. And that means that people's pay is being eroded. And so that their kind of purchasing power or their actual disposable income is going down. And that then means that if you want your wage to be able to buy the same amount of stuff, well, then it needs to follow inflation. And if it doesn't do that, then you're basically every month you get less and less money in your hands. Well, then I think lots of people feel like then they have a good case for why they need to go on strike to ask for that.
So do you think that strikes are effective as bargaining tools? Do you think that the strikers actually are able to achieve what they want through this strike action?
I think whether strikes are effective or not is a really kind of contextual question. Like, I think there isn't a kind of simple yes or no answer to it. It depends a lot on the sector of the economy. It depends on the strength of the union. It depends on what their employer is like, right? Whether the employer is very intractable, very kind of aggressive, or whether it's a more kind of compromise-seeking employer. it depends as well on like how much leverage the workers have or the people who go on strike have. And that will depend again on the kind of sector of the economy. Like, let's say in the transport sector. So the reason why strikes in the transport sector have tended to be quite effective. So if we look at in the last year or two, the most successful strikes have been, or the ones that have kind of gotten the most, I guess, attractive settlements with their employers has been, for example, bus drivers. Why is that? Well, I would say probably because if you're bus drivers, you go on strike, it's very simple. What happens? You decide not to go to work, the buses don't go, and you've effectively kind of shut down your workplace, right? And it has huge disruption. And it also crucially leads to a reduction in income for the company, right? Because they don't get the bus fares of the passengers. So every day that bus drivers go on strike, their employer is losing money. Of course, they're also not paying the salaries of the workers, but in most workplaces where if you make a profit, well, then you're making more money than you're paying your workers. So it does mean that every day, they're losing more money than they're kind of gaining. So the employer has a real incentive to try and stop the strike as quickly as possible. I would say that's why strikes in a sector like that has been very effective. In other sectors, strikes are less effective. And I have to, just put the cards on the table. I think education is a sector where strikes are generally not as effective because the workers don't have the same kind of leverage, like don't have the same kind of power. We can have a long discussion maybe about why that is. But just in very simple terms, if a teacher in a school, well, a teacher in a school maybe has a bit more power, but let's say somebody who works at a university, somebody who works at LSE, if they decide to withdraw their labor, what does that actually mean? Well, let's say you're a researcher, like only a researcher. There aren't really any direct, like short-term negative impacts for LSE on that. Because what does it mean? It means that you write less, you publish less, you maybe apply for fewer grants, you speak at fewer conferences, right? LSE doesn't really directly gain, like monetarily, from you doing those things in the short term. It is true that they do that in the long term. But it doesn't really bother the institution that much. So the thing I think that does bother them is the withdrawal of labor that goes into teaching, because that's kind of the bread and butter of the institution. That's what actually is like very disruptive in the short term. But even there, it's kind of hard to, well, first of all, obviously not everyone is in the union, so you can't like entirely shut down the university. And secondly, the problem is that, well, the employer still doesn't really lose out. It would be different. Like, imagine if as a student, you, instead of paying like your tuition fees just as one big sum of money, right? Instead, it was like every day you came in, you had to pay a kind of entry fee to get into the university. Then I think it would be a bit different, because then on the strike days, right, you could say, well, I'm not going to come in, I'm not going to pay the whatever number of pounds. But if I, if you pay those fees once a year, well, then you've already paid them. So in a way, the university has already cashed in on the student. And so the fact that the teacher doesn't teach doesn't really, in the short term, affect the university negatively financially, if that makes sense. So I think that's just to say whether strikes are effective or not really depends on the sector of the economy. It doesn't mean, of course, that they're never effective in, that there are some sectors where they're never effective or other sectors where they're always effective. It depends on lots of other factors. The main factors would be how strong is the trade union, like how many members does the union have? And importantly, it's not just like a number, it's a percentage, right? So what we would call union density. So how, what percentage of the workers in a workplace are members of the union? The higher that is, the more difficult it is for the employer to also kind of make alternative arrangements to kind of compensate for the strike. So that would be a major factor. Also, obviously, how militant is the union? How kind of aggressive is it? How willing is it to stay on strike for a long period of time? And crucially, a big part of that is, well, how much money does the union have? If it's a very poor union, then eventually you're going to run out of money. If it's a very rich union, well, then you could just keep on striking forever because it doesn't matter that you lose your pay because the union has loads of money in the bank and you can just use that to pay the workers while they don't get their salary. So I think there isn't really a simple answer to whether strikes are effective or not. It really depends on the sector of the economy, depends on larger like political, economic kind of climates. And a lot of it is also just quite down to kind of contingencies. Like it's the particular historical moment we're in. Also certain smaller local factors like the willingness of the boss, right? Like at LSE, for example, the director or the kind of leadership of the national body of universities, you know, their willingness to compromise just based on their, you know, their own political views, their personalities and their kind of leadership styles and so on. So I think there's a lot of factors that go into whether strikes are effective or not.
Okay, because I just moved to London in September and I had never experienced teacher strikes before the way it is happening here. And I've heard that it's quite common for teachers in the UK to strike. But are strikes like these happening every year? Are LSE teachers striking every year?
So we have been on strike a couple of times before. I would say historically, so I talked about kind of weak and strong union branches and weak and strong sectors. I would say LSE has historically been quite a weak branch of the union, so a kind of weakly unionized workplace. That has changed in the last few years. It's kind of the union has become quite dramatically much stronger, I would say. So that's why there have been strikes at universities in the UK since 2018, but it's only really been in the last couple of years that they also got to LSE. So at other institutions, there have been strikes every year for the past basically 5 years. Yeah, so there have been strikes kind of going on since 2018 in some universities all the way, you know, every single year. But at LSE, that hasn't really been the case. So I think that is also a good example of how, you know, a lot of this is just kind of down to local factors and kind of conditions in that particular workplace.
Okay, and I'm not going to go too deep into the teacher strikes, but for example, when teachers at different universities in UK strike, is it for the same rights and the same goals, if I can say that?
Okay, that's an excellent question, because this stuff can be a little bit confusing, I think, to somebody, you know, a little bit on the outside. The university strikes are really about a national dispute, so it's not really the case that the local union is, in a way, going on strike against LSE, so to say. It's that there's a national body of universities called UCEA, so Universities and Colleges Employers Association, which is basically a kind of big confederation of all the universities in the UK. And they're the ones who decide, because in the UK there's like a national scale of pay, for example. So that's why, well, at least once you get outside of London, all universities have pretty much the same, they pay, you know, everyone pretty much the same across institutions. So if you're a lecturer at the University of Durham and if you're a lecturer at the University of Warwick, chances are that you get pretty much the same pay. That's because there's been kind of national pay agreements. In London, it's a bit different because you get a bit more because London's more expensive. Some institutions do also pay a bit more because they want to be more competitive, like LSE, UCL. But that means that the dispute is really between the national union and the National Employers Association. So there's kind of, to complicate matters more, there are two disputes going on, right? So it's important that we separate them. There's the one on basically around pay. That's between those two. So the National Employers Association and the National Union. Then the other dispute is about pensions. And I know pensions is the most boring word in the world, but the pensions dispute is basically between the National Union as well on the one hand, but it's not really the Employers Association on the other hand. It's basically the pension fund. It's like the kind of institution that is managing the pensions. Now, that is obviously also tied to the employers, but it's not really negotiating with the employers directly on that. So those are kind of the two disputes. You could also have, in theory, it would be possible, this hasn't happened, but you could imagine a situation where there was a local dispute. So let's say that there was something happening at LSE. Let's say LSE decided to fire a bunch of people. It is possible, in theory, to then have like a local strike that only happens at LSE. That hasn't happened because a lot of this stuff is decided nationally. But in other sectors, that's why you could see that there's a dispute just in, you know, in one workplace, and it doesn't happen on a national scale.
Are there any examples where there have been local strikes?
So not in universities, as far as I can think off the top of my head. There are other sectors where there have been kind of local disputes, or just in one workplace, right? Or especially in the private sector, that's what happens. In the public sector, because, you know, all state schools are part of a national system, or all universities are kind of, at least in theory, public universities. That's why it would tend to be a national dispute. But if you, in the private sector, you just have one company, then you could have a strike that just happens there. So a recent example is P&O Ferries, which is like a large ferry operator. There was a huge kind of dispute there because they were going to basically fire all their workers. And that was like contained just to that company. This tends to happen, yeah, in the private sector, and also especially in kind of traditional kind of like factory settings, for example. So I'm from Denmark. In Denmark, the kind of classic case of strikes in the last couple of years has been in slaughterhouses, like places where animals are kind of butchered. And that was because they were going to move all the production to Poland because it's cheaper. And so there was a strike by the workers to keep, basically to save the jobs in Denmark. And that was just in that one workplace, you know, so it wasn't like a national strike. And it didn't even necessarily go to other, even if it's a big company that has many, you know, many different locations, it could still happen in just that one workplace.
Okay, so there are public and private strikes, there are national and local strikes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and different rules and different like effects of the different types.
Yeah,
okay,
basically.
Noted. Okay, but to kind of sum it up, why would you say that strikes are important for society?
Well, I think strikes are important for a number of reasons. We can think just in the very narrow sense, as a kind of tool for employees, for workers. I think it is important that they have some kind of method or mechanism to kind of escalate a dispute or disagreement, because let's face it, it's the employer has more power than the employees, of course, because they're the ones who, you know, decide to hire them. And if workers are just kind of individuals in a workplace, then they have next to no power. If they join a union, they have some more power because they're kind of collective. And strikes really are the only way that they really can kind of use power against the power of the employers. You know, negotiations can a lot of the time solve certain disagreements or issues. And by the way, negotiations go on all the time, you know, in workplaces. And even at LSE, even during the strike, negotiations go on. And those negotiations about all kinds of things, right? Not just pay or pensions, but it could be, you know, even tiny aspects of what happens at LSE. Those negotiations are oftentimes very friendly and relaxed. You know, it's not this kind of super confrontational thing. But I do think strikes are important because they do give workers an important tool if working conditions or if a situation gets so bad that they get very desperate and that there is kind of no, you know, there's no real other avenue for them to actually resolve their grievance. So I think it's important because, by and large, workplaces, employers do have the most power. And if we think that workers have a right to also have a say over how, you know, what happens at their workplace, then strikes seem to be very important. I think more broadly than that, you could also argue that strikes are, well, first of all, a democratic right, but also just in, even more generally, a kind of important part of democratic life. We also think that protests are a democratic right, that you can sometimes even break the law, right? So civil disobedience. We can think that that's an important part of democracy, even if it's disruptive, even if it's sometimes to some people annoying, even if it leads to potentially economic losses, right? Like it could it could have all kinds of other negative consequences, but we still might think that it's an important part of living in a democratic society where there are certain liberal individual and collective rights, that you can do certain things and that we want to have political debate and contestation and disagreement, because that's like the lifeblood of democracy. I mean, by definition, kind of politics is about disagreement. It's about, you know, a contestation between different views of what should happen in society. And I think strikes are a really important part of that, because without those, then especially people who work in very kind of precarious, very insecure, very low paid jobs, you know, maybe people like migrant workers or people who might even be undocumented, in those sectors, there really isn't many other avenues for you to, you know, who are you going to go to if, you know, you have a problem with your employer? At LSE, obviously, we have the kind of privilege of having a bit more of like a voice in the public debate or in public fora. But I think across the economy, across society, strikes have given so many things to people, right? Like the weekend, holiday pay, sick pay, all these things, you know, we think about as being a result of trade union activity. And I think there's probably lots more things that we could secure in society to improve society. And strikes do seem historically, I think, and also theoretically, to be a good way of achieving some of those things.
A very powerful way to end this podcast about strikes. Thank you, Lucas. It was great to have you here in studio, and thank you for helping us understand what strikes really are. Do you have any last words which you want to end this podcast with?
Well, I think hopefully this was useful for people, and I'm on strike now, and so hopefully, you know, I would say try and support the strikes at LSE, but also hopefully people who listen to this will take an interest in it and, you know, read more about strikes and follow the news, and yeah, let's see what happens.
Thank you so much, Lucas, and thank you to all of you who have listened to this second episode of the podcast series Help Me Understand. Have a wonderful day.